How do you become more like Christ? Don Clausen reveals the spiritual disciplines needed in our modern world here on Probe.
As a seminary student, I was given the assignment to read a book on Christian spirituality called The Spirit of the Disciplines by Dallas Willard. I obediently read the book and either wrote a paper on it or took a test that covered the material, but the book didn't have a major impact on my life at that time. Recently, over a decade later, I've gone back to the book and found it to be a jewel that I should have spent more time with. In the book, Willard speaks to one of the most important issues facing individual Christians and the churches in our time. How does one live the Spirit-filled life promised in the New Testament? How does the believer experience the promise that Jesus made in Matthew 11? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Willard argues that modernity has given us a culture that offers a flood of self-fulfillment programs in the form of political, scientific, and even psychological revolutions, all promised to promote personal peace and affluence. And yet we suffer from an epidemic of depression, suicide, personal emptiness, and escapism through drugs and alcohol, cultic obsession, consumerism, and sex and violence. Most Christians would agree that the Christian faith offers a model for human transformation that far exceeds the promises of modern scientific programs. But when it comes to delineating the methods of such a transformation, there's often confusion or silence. Christians often seek spiritual maturity in all the wrong places. Some submit themselves to abusive churches that equate busyness and unquestioning subservience with Christ-likeness. Others look for spirituality through syncretism, borrowing the spiritualism of Eastern religions or Gnosticism with a Christian veneer. According to Willard, Christians often hope to find Christ's power for living in ways that seem appropriate but miss the mark. Some seek it through special experiences or the infusion of the Spirit, or by way of the presence of Christ in the inner life. Others argue that it's only the power of ritual or liturgy or the preaching of the word or through the community of the saints. All of these have value in the Christian life, but do not reliably produce large number of people who are really like Christ. We evangelicals have a natural tendency to avoid anything that hints of meritorious works. As a result, we reduce faith to an entirely mental affair, cutting off the body from the process of living the Christian life. This week we will consider a New Testament theology of human transformation as we seek to understand what it means to become a living sacrifice to God.
This has been Probe with your host, Don Clausen. Are you finding that your life just doesn't display the power of a transformed life that Christ promised? Get your free copy of Don's transcript, Spiritual Disciplines and the Modern World, at probe.org. Join us next time here on Probe.
Faith in Jesus Christ brings instant forgiveness, along with the promise of eventual glorification and spending eternity with God. However, in between, the believer experiences something called sanctification, the process of being set apart for good works. Something that is sanctified is holy. So it makes sense that the process of sanctification is to make us more like Christ. Even though the Bible talks much of spiritual power and becoming like Christ, many believers find this process of sanctification to be a mystery. Being rooted in this age of science and materialism, the language of spiritual growth sounds alien and a bit threatening to our ears. But if we want to experience the life that Jesus promised, a life of spiritual strength, we need to understand how to appropriate God's Spirit into our lives. According to Dallas Willard, a spiritual life consists in that range of activities in which people cooperatively interact with God, and with the spiritual order deriving from God's personality and action. And what is the result? A new overall quality of human existence with corresponding new powers. To be spiritual is to be dominated by the Spirit of God. Willard adds that spirituality is another reality, not just a commitment or lifestyle. It may result in personal and social change, but the ultimate goal is to become like Christ and to further His kingdom, not just to be a better person or to make America a better place to live. The Bible teaches that to become a spiritual person, one must employ the disciplines of spirituality. The disciplines are activities of mind and body purposefully undertaken to bring our personality and total being into effective cooperation with the divine order. Paul wrote in Romans 6 that the goal of being spiritual is to offer our body to God as instruments of righteousness, in order to be of use for His kingdom. Moving towards this state of usefulness to God and His kingdom depends on the actions of individual believers. Many of us have been taught that this action consists primarily of attending church or giving towards its programs. As important as these are, they fail to address the radical inner change that must take place in our hearts to be of significant use to God. The teaching of Scripture, specifically the life of Christ, tells us that the deep changes that must occur in our lives will only be accomplished via the disciplines of abstinence, such as fasting, solitude, silence, and chastity, and the disciplines of engagement, such as study, worship, service, prayer, and confession. These disciplines, along with others, will result in being conformed to the person of Christ, the desire of everyone born of His Spirit. Yesterday, we considered the need for transformation in the Christian life in order to be useful to God. Today, we will look at the role of the spiritual disciplines and the relationship to the abundant life Jesus promised. When I first read in the Bible that Jesus offered a more abundant life to those who followed Him, I thought that He was primarily describing a life filled with more happiness and purpose. It does include these things, but I believe now that it includes much more. Salvation in Christ promises to radically change the nature of life itself. Salvation in Christ promises a life depicted by the highest ideals of thought and actions, as epitomized by the life of Christ Himself. Although there is no program or classroom course that can guarantee to give us this new life in Christ, it can be argued that in order to live a life like Jesus, we need to do the things that Jesus did. If Jesus had to learn obedience through the things which He suffered, are we to expect to act Christ-like without the benefit of engaging in the disciplines that Jesus did? In his book, The Spirit of the Disciplines, Dallas Willard argues that there is a direct connection between practicing the spiritual disciplines and experiencing the salvation that is promised in Christ. Jesus prayed, fasted, and practiced solitude, not because He was sinful and in need of redemption as we are, but because He had a body just as we do. The center of every human being's existence is his or her body. We are neither to be Neoplatonic nor Gnostic in our approach to the spiritual life. Both of these traditions play down the importance of the physical universe, arguing that it is either evil or simply inferior to the spiritual domain. But as Willard argues, to withhold our bodies from religion is to exclude religion from our lives. Although our spiritual dimension may be invisible, it is not separate from our bodily existence. Spirituality, according to Willard, is a relationship of our embodied selves to God that has the natural and irrepressible effect of making us alive to the kingdom of God, here and now, in the material world. By separating our Christian life from our bodies, we create an unnecessary secular sacred gulf for Christians that often alienates us from the world and the people around us. The Christian faith offers more than just the forgiveness of sins. It promises to transform individuals, to live in such a way that responding to events as Jesus did becomes second nature. Tomorrow we will highlight some of these spiritual disciplines and consider how they transform the very quality of life we experience as followers of Jesus Christ. This week we are looking into how the Christian faith is often reduced to a set of propositions about God and a murky sense of a future salvation. In response, we are considering the thoughts found in Dallas Willard's book, The Spirit of the Disciplines, on living as Christ lived in order to experience salvation and new life on a daily basis. Willard believes that a discipline for the spiritual life is, when the dust of history is blown away, nothing but an activity undertaken to bring us into more effective cooperation with Christ and His kingdom. He reminds us that we discipline ourselves throughout life in order to accomplish a wide variety of tasks or functions. We utilize discipline when we study an academic or professional field, and many become disciplined athletes in order to run a marathon or bench press 300 pounds. Why then are we surprised to learn that we must discipline ourselves to be useful to God? Willard divides the disciplines into two categories, disciplines of abstinence and disciplines of engagement. Depending on our lifestyle and past personal experiences, we will each find different disciplines helpful in accomplishing the goal of living as a new creature in Christ. Solitude, silence, fasting, frugality, chastity, secrecy, and sacrifice are disciplines of abstinence. Given our highly materialistic culture, these might be the most difficult and most beneficial to many of us. We are more familiar with the disciplines of engagement, including study, worship, celebration, service, prayer, and fellowship. However, two others mentioned by Willard might be less familiar, confession and submission. Abstinence requires that we give up something that is perfectly normal, something that is not wrong in itself, such as food or sex, because it has gotten in the way of our walking with God. As one writer tells us, solitude is a terrible trial, for it serves to crack open and burst apart the shell of our superficial securities. It opens out to us the unknown abyss that we all carry within us. Busyness and superficial activities hide us from the fact that we have little or no inward experience with God. Solitude frees us from social conformity, from being conformed to the patterns of this world that Paul warns us about in Romans 12. Solitude goes hand in hand with silence. The power of the tongue and the damage it can do is taken very seriously in the Bible. There is a quiet inner strength and confidence that exudes from people who are great listeners, who are able to be silent and be slow to speak. Join us tomorrow as we continue to consider the importance of the spiritual disciplines. This week we have been examining the role of spiritual disciplines in the transformation of the Christian life into one portrayed by the light burden or easy yoke that Jesus offers in Matthew 11. In his book, The Spirit of the Disciplines, Dallas Willard explains that spiritual disciplines help us to diminish improper entanglements with the world in order that we might be properly engaged with God. Yesterday, we looked into the disciplines of abstinence. Today, we will conclude by discussing disciplines of engagement. Although study is not often thought of as a spiritual discipline, it is the key to a balanced Christian walk. Study involves reading, memorizing, and meditation on God's Word. It takes effort and time, and there are no shortcuts. It includes learning from great Christian minds that have gone before us, and those who by their walk and example can teach much about the power available to believers who seek to experience the light burden that abiding in Christ offers. Few Christians deny the need for worship in their weekly routines. Worship ascribes great worth to God. It is seeing God as He truly is. Willard argues that we should focus our worship through Jesus Christ to the Father. He writes, "When we worship, we fill our minds and hearts with wonder at Him. The detailed actions and words of His earthly life, His trial and death on the cross, His resurrection reality, and His work as ascended intercessor. The discipline of celebration is unfamiliar to most of us, yet Willard argues that it is one of the most important forms of engagement with God. He writes that we engage in celebration when we enjoy ourselves, our life, our world, in conjunction with our faith and confidence in God's greatness, beauty, and goodness. We concentrate on our life and world as God's work and as God's gift to us. Although much of the scriptural argument for holy celebration is found in the festivals of the Old Testament and the book of Ecclesiastes, Jesus was accused of being a glutton and a drunkard because He chose to dine and celebrate with sinners. Christian fellowship and confession go hand in hand. It is within the context of fellowship that Christians build up and encourage one another with the gifts that God has given us. It is also in this context that we practice confession with trusted believers who know both our strengths and weaknesses. This level of transparency and openness is essential for the church to become the healing place of deep intimacy that people are so hungry for. Walking with Jesus doesn't mean just knowing things about Him. It means living as He lived. This includes practicing the spiritual disciplines that Jesus practiced. As we do, we will be changed through the Spirit to be more like Him and experience the rest that He has offered to us.